Jeremiah chapter 9. Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a spring of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. So he really has a heart that bleeds for his people. He has just said in chapter 8 that he is hurt in their hurt. And that, I think, is a sign of spiritual maturity, that we see the fate of others and our heart bleeds for them, including for those who have been given the opportunity to repent, who've been given the opportunity of life eternal, but they don't want it or they reject it and carry on in their ways. Our heart should bleed for them. And that is what Jeremiah was like, not sort of, yeah, well, I gave you the chance, you didn't want it, that's your problem. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. So he loves his people, but he wants to leave them as well. He's fed up with it. He just doesn't want to be in that environment. And this just is exactly how we should feel in this world, like Lot in Sodom, vexing his righteous soul day after day because of the awful way in which they behaved. And yet your heart bleeds for these people and you want them to be saved. I think now we have God's reply. They bend their tongue as their bow for falsehood, and they are grown strong in the land, but not for truth. They proceed from evil to evil, and they don't know me, says Yahweh. So God saw that they were on a downward spiral, and that's what happens. People start to slip down and down. Beware every one of his neighbor. Don't trust in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will go about with slanders. They will deceive each one his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. Your habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, says Yahweh. One of the things that God keeps on about in the society of Jeremiah's day was their dishonesty, their lack of integrity, and continually speaking lies. You might have thought there would have been a whole load of other big things God could pick with them. That why are you worshipping idols, offering your children as sacrifices, etc. But he goes for this to start with, the attitudes of the mind and the words spoken with the tongue. Because these things are so critically important to God. I'm not saying the other things are less important or whatever, but I am saying that God is very sensitive to how we think and how we speak. And it is these things which are really the mark of a spiritual person. Therefore, thus says Yahweh, I will melt them and try them. For how should I deal with the daughter of my people? Their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaks deceit. One speaks peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he lays wait for him. Shall I not visit them for these things? Shall not my soul be avenged on a nation like this? So God is going to punish people for how they have spoken. And the fact that they may speak nice words, but in their heart think something else. This sort of thing, it just goes on all the time. And yet God is very sensitive to it. And there should be integrity in us. That is, that what you think is reflected in how you speak, and that you have no acting, no hypocrisy or whatever. For the mountains will I take up a weeping and wailing, and for the pastures of the wilderness a lamentation, because they're burned up. So just as Jeremiah wanted to get away from his people, but also his heart bled for them, it's the same with God. He talks about judgment that has to come upon them, but then he's weeping and wailing because of this. He doesn't want this to happen. I will make Jerusalem heaps, a dwelling place of jackals. Who is the wise man that may understand this? Who is he to whom the mouth of Yahweh has spoken that he may declare it? Yahweh says, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the stubbornness of their own heart, and after the Baals which their fathers taught them, therefore thus says Yahweh, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. Again, the problem was going the way of their own heart. And we live in a world that says, just do it. Follow your heart. If that's how you feel, well, that's how it is. Just do it. Follow your own truth. Whereas as believers, the truth that we have is not what my heart tells me to do, it is what God tells me to do. And that is where the Bible, which is God's word to us in this generation, plays an absolutely central part in our lives. God says, I will give them wormwood and gall. That's what was given to Jesus on the cross. And he carried the judgments for Israel's sin. Although he was personally innocent, he represented them. He suffered as a sinner. Cursed is every one that hangs on a tree. And yet he had not sinned. He was our representative. And our sins were laid upon him, and he resurrected. So that if we identify ourselves with him, which in our age we do by baptism into him, then we also will rise again with him. I will scatter them among the nations whom neither they nor their fathers have known. I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them. Thus says Yahweh, consider, call for the mourning women that they may come, and let them make haste and take up a wailing for us. This is clearly God's word. He's speaking here, and he says, this is all so sad. Call for the mourners that they may come and bewail us. My people and me, that's what God is saying. That his judgment upon his people was not some God that got mad and got angry with how people were behaving on earth. He was part of them, and he weeps for them himself, as Jeremiah did, and he says, look, wail for us, for you and me, that this relationship is not going to work if you carry on like this. A voice of wailing is heard out of Zion. How are we ruined? We are greatly confounded because we have forsaken the land. Yet hear the word of Yahweh, you women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth. Teach your daughters wailing, for death has come up into our windows. It has entered into our palaces to cut off the children from outside. The dead bodies of men shall fall as dung on the open field, and none shall gather them. So thus says Yahweh, don't let the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Don't let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he has understanding and knows me, that I am Yahweh, who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says Yahweh. So then we are not to glory in wisdom, in might, in wealth, all the things that the people of our age glory in, that, oh yeah, I finished university, or I got qualified, I'm in this career, I'm wealthy, I'm strong in this way or the other way. That's nothing, absolutely nothing. And he says, don't glory in those things, but you are to glory that you know me. That is, that you have a relationship with me, that you know that I am the God of grace and of justice. That, knowing God, that relationship with God, that is absolutely critical. That is what is important. And when you meet people who say that, yeah, there might be a God, or yeah, there is a God, but he's a pretty hard God. Well, no, they haven't known his grace. They haven't known his kindness. And for you to know God in the sense of not just knowing things about him, but to have this relationship with him, and to know for yourself that God is love to me, that is worth more than anything, than all the might and the power and the wealth and achievement of this world.